Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his host, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father God, we bless your name, your holy, precious, most magnificent name. Thank you, God, for dealing with us in kindness, in grace, in favor, in mercy. God, your compassion is abundant towards us. Your steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, God, that that is the song, God, that we're able to sing. God, forever, 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 God, and that we have that such hope and that you're there. And God, you are the one, God, that we're desperate for. You are the one, God, that we seek to know and to love and adore with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Bless the Lord, O our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Today's message comes from Psalm 103. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles there. Psalm 103 today. Sometimes in life we can get easily distracted and miss our focus, even our direction that we need to follow. This past week, you may have caught this on the news. On Wednesday, November 20th, a massive cargo airplane was bound for McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas, taking off from the JFK airport in New York City. And it landed at the wrong airport. And for a little while, it was temporarily stuck. How many of you heard this on the news this past week? If you saw, there were pictures of this cargo plane, and this thing was a beast. I mean, it was just massive. A massive cargo plane, and apparently it landed at the wrong airport. There was a little video of it. It had kind of, you could hear the airplane pilots come over, their speakers, and the people said, "Excuse me, pilot, do you know where you are?" And he says, "Yes, sir. We think we landed at the other airport." And so it was just this mass confusion, you know, this Boeing 747 was set to land at McConnell, but instead it landed at a much smaller airport about 10 miles north called the Jabara Airport. And Jabara Airport is so small, it doesn't even have a control tower. It doesn't even handle jumbo jets. And so according to the news reports, that it took them a lot of logistics, a lot of planning to figure out what they were going to do, how they were going to organize it, and even if this jumbo jet was even going to be able to get out of this airport, because normally this Boeing 747 cargo plane jet needs a runway of 9,199 feet long in order to take off, and Jabara's airport runway was 6,101 feet, about 3,000 feet too short. You'll be happy to know about 10 hours later organization and logistics, the plane was able to take off and land to its intended destination. Sometimes we can get distracted, we can lose our focus and end up in the wrong place. This morning, I'm going to talk about having our focus, having our direction in the right place this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103. As you're there in the Psalms, I want you to know, if you don't already know, that the Psalms are a wonderful place in the Scriptures to land. I don't know where you are in your devotional readings. I don't know if maybe you're even going through a dry spell. Can I encourage you to spend some time in the Psalms? Can I encourage you to know that the psalmist has your heart, has your mind, thinks through lots of similar things that you're thinking through and has felt a lot of the emotions and gone through a lot of the experiences that you have gone through. And the Psalms are a wonderful place to seek the Lord and to pray and to praise the Lord. In fact, the word psalm itself, it means to praise or to glory into something, even to make music. In fact, when the Hebrew scriptures were translated into the Greek, the word psalmos or solo means to make melody. It kind of means to like twang or to strike with the fingers to make music, to make melody. And so the very word psalms or solo means to pray and to praise. It means to make music to the Lord. And so that's what the Psalms are all about, is praying and praising back and forth. And so this morning, I want to do that. I want to praise the Lord. I want to pray together. I want to even invite some of you to share some praises as well in a few moments here. But I want to point out a few things here, a few truths from Psalm 103. In the beginning, the first two verses, the psalmist, who is David, we know this. It's a title and inscription in the beginning of the psalm. It says it's a psalm of David. He commands himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless his holy name." Then he commands himself a second time, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." In fact, six times in this psalm, in Psalm 103, six times there will be that command to himself and to the people of God to bless the Lord, to bless the Lord. And the name of the Lord is significant. In your Bible, it should be all caps. It should be all caps of that name of the Lord. That's the covenant name of God. That's that personal, relational way that God has revealed himself to his very own people to say that I am your God, that I have purchased you, I've loved you, I've rescued you, I've delivered you. I am your Yahweh. I am your Lord God. And so David uses this name and he commands himself to bless the Lord. You see, David was tempted to be distracted and detoured to land in the right place. He knew that. He was just like that airline pilot. And so he had to command himself, self, bless the Lord. Don't get distracted in life. Focus on the Lord. And so the first truth is this, that there is a Lord to bless. That there is a Lord to bless. David needed to realize that. In verse 2 he says, forget not all his benefits. Now we've just come off a series going through Psalm 51 and looking a little bit about David's life. You see, and David had gone through all sorts of things in his life. He was a king. He was blessed greatly by God. He amassed wealth, he amassed a kingdom, he amassed an army, he was very successful, he had fallen greatly from that height as well, he committed adultery, he committed murder even, he lied, and was just really made God's name a mockery. But in his life, he experienced the highs and the lows, and he realized how much God had done for him, how gracious and forgiving God is. David was one who experienced the benefits, if you will, of all there is about knowing God. And David has to tell himself, self, forget not the benefits of God. Bless the Lord. And so you and I are tempted to not recognize God. But when you and I are tempted to not recognize God, that does not mean that God is not there. That does not mean that there is not a Lord to bless. And so I want to encourage you to know that there is a Lord to bless. Whether you see him or not, there is a Lord to bless. Whether you are going through a hard time or not, there is a Lord to bless. He is constant. He is steadfast. He is immovable. He is on his throne. There is a Lord to bless. And David says this. He says so much to bless the Lord. He says, bless this Lord, all that is within me. In other words, there should be some passion. There should be a sense of urgency that and just exuberance that that he recognizes he should have because he's worshiping God, the Lord. And so we too should bless the Lord with a sense of passion, with a sense of strength, but even more with a sense of substance to recognize who God is and know him accurately. You know, there's a place that you could stand. I may have used this illustration before, but there's a place you can stand in front of the Washington Monument and see the Washington Monument in D.C. and yet still completely miss it. There's also a place in front of the Statue of Liberty in New York there that you can stand right in front of it and not even see it. There's a place in Niagara Falls where you could stand right in front of the falls, either on the U.S. side or the Canada side, and completely miss it. There's a place at the Grand Canyon. You could stand right in front of the Grand Canyon and yet still not even see it. All these wonderful, giant, massive sights and views, and the reason why you and I could miss them is because we have our back turned towards them. And so that's the same thing about God. God is so massive. He is so expansive. And you would think, how could we miss God? But if we have our back towards him, we'll miss him. We will forget his benefits. We will not bless the Lord with all of our soul, with a strength, with a passion, or even a substance to us. So I want to encourage you to make that U-turn, to turn around, to see God for who he is. There is a Lord to bless. All of creation, from the highest of heavens to the lowly of lands, brings praise to the Lord. David is noting that throughout this psalm, and he calls his people to do the same, to worship the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 2 says it this way, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Look at verses 3 through 5. In the rest of this psalm, not only is there a Lord to bless, but there is also a Lord who blesses. There's a Lord who blesses his people, and this is how the Lord blesses his people. At least fivefold different benefits, if you will, fivefold different benefits or blessings from the Lord. The first one is this: he forgives all of our iniquity. The second one, he heals all of our diseases. The third one, he redeems our life from the pit. Fourthly, he crowns you with a steadfast love and with mercy. And fifthly, he satisfies you with good, even so much that your youth would be renewed like the eagles. Let me just take a moment and briefly share with them. And then I want to invite some of you to maybe even just kind of do a little interaction here together. Some of you may have experienced these benefits and blessings of the Lord. And as we are entering into a time of Thanksgiving, this will be a wonderful time to just give thanks to the Lord for how he's blessed you in your life. The first one, who has forgiven all of your iniquity. The idea is that God has been so gracious. He gives you forgiveness. It's like a person who was in prison and the warden comes out and unlocks your prison door and says, you're free to go. You no longer have to stay in this jail cell anymore. It's as if you were buried alive in a box and put down, and then all of a sudden somebody realized that, hey, we buried this person alive and we need to bring them back up. But even the picture of forgiveness is even greater than that, because it doesn't say that we're buried alive. Scripture says that, in fact, we're dead in our sins. And so we are dead, funeral dead, and God has awakened us. That's the idea of forgiveness, that God has freed us as if from a prison cell, or he has awakened us from death. We have been unburdened. We have been forgiven. We have experienced his forgiveness. We have experienced mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We have experienced grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We experience full forgiveness from God. And forgiveness is not just wink, wink, okay, you sin, but I'm just going to pass it over. Forgiveness is I acknowledge your sin and I've dealt with it. That's what God has done for us. And he has given us forgiveness. Secondly, he has healed us of all of our diseases. David relates our sin to like a disease. In Psalm 32, he talks about his body just feels the aches and the pains from the weight of sin upon his life. And so David may be speaking physically here, but I think even more so he's speaking spiritually speaking about healing our disease, our soul that is dead and dry and needing healing from God. But God certainly does heal us physically as well. And whether we realize it or not, we will all, for those who are believers, experience healing from our diseases. I don't care what you have, whether it's just a common cold or if you have a greater C called cancer, God will bring healing in your life. It may not be this side of eternity, but on the other side, God will bring full and final healing to you. God heals your diseases, but he does do it on this side as well. And so maybe some of you have experienced that. Maybe some of you have experienced a physical healing or an emotional healing in your life. I want to encourage you to give testimony to the Lord today. He redeems your life from the pit. The idea is, of redemption is a picture of rescue or deliverance, where God intervenes into hopeless situations with his strength, with his power, and ultimately with his salvation. Have you been going one direction and gone so far that you just felt you've been at the bottom of the pit, and then God has reached in with his hand and said, no longer. Let there be light in this person's life. Let this person have a new purpose, a new direction. He has redeemed your life from the pit. Has that been you? The Bible says to give praise to the Lord for that. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. In other words, is it God circles you all about with his steadfast love and mercy. This past week, Pastor Zach and I had the opportunity to go and make a visit to one of our members. Donald and Amy Williams had a baby this past week, and a beautiful little girl, Olivia Page. Olivia Page, she was 7 pounds and 19 inches, some inches long, and she's just a lovely little thing. Makes me want to have another one. We'll see about that in Lord's timing. But nonetheless, is Donald and Amy, they live in Upper Marlboro, and God bless them. They commute all the way to Hereford Church, and they're wonderful members and wonderful people and friends. And they had their baby at a hospital way down in Clinton, Maryland. And so Pastor Zach and I went to go visit them, had a good time, and there was grandparents galore in the room and all other sorts of family members. And there was even another pastor from their old church, or Amy's home church for her growing up, was there. And so lots of visitors, beautiful family, and God has blessed them greatly. They got home this week, and so they're safe and sound. But on the way back, Pastor Zach and I stopped at a little place to eat. Imagine that. And in the little place that we stopped to eat, there was this guy who came in, and he was wearing this team color, purple and black. I don't really know why. I have no clue, but he was sporting it proudly. And Pastor Zach, in his rather characteristic humor, said, you a long way from home, aren't you? Because it's Southern Maryland. I mean, those are Redskins fans down there. Okay, not the Baltimore Ravens. Nonetheless, I felt, God, everywhere I go, you encircle me with Ravens fans. Why, oh Lord? Why, oh Lord? That's what David is saying. David is saying, God, everywhere I go, I am encircled with your love. Everywhere I go, I can't get away from your love. It's there everywhere I go. God, I can, in Psalm 139, he says, God, if I would go to the highest of heavens, God, you're there. If I go to the deep of the ocean, God, you're still there. I cannot get away from your love. You have encircled me. You have crowned me in with steadfast love and mercy. Man, that is good. That is good that the Lord would do that. In Psalm 73:25, he says, God, whom do I have except for you? God, everyone else leaves me, but God, you are there. You are faithful. You crown me with steadfast love and with mercy. Fifthly, he says, he satisfies you with good. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He says that the idea is that even the crumbs from God's table are better than the banquet from the world's. The idea that he satisfies you so good that you would be satisfied even if you just had crumbs off of God's table. God's goodness and grace, it renews us. It revives us like nothing else can. And even more so than even what the world has to offer. I want to encourage you before we open it up for a little bit of a testimony this morning. I want to encourage you, especially, I want to encourage you senior saints, you ones who have lived life much longer than some of us others have. I want to encourage you, as you look through this list, these benefits, these blessings of the Lord, would you, senior saints, be encouraged to give testimony to the younger saints? Would you be encouraged? Would you be challenged to even pray about in your church family or somebody in your neighborhood to be a mentor to? You see, we're tempted to forget these benefits. And you, senior saints, have lived life so much in the presence of the Lord. You've received so much from God and his faithfulness in your life. And you, there's no retirement in Christianity. God has a plan for every single one of you. And so I want to encourage you, to senior saints, to connect, to plug in, to give testimony of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To find a young family, to find a young husband, find a young wife who's a mother of some young children who needs some encouragement, and just pass on the faith to that next generation. Could I encourage you to do that? Well, this morning, I want to just take a little bit of opportunity as pastor and maybe open up. It's not pulpit-centered, and just say, hey, we are the body this morning. Let's give testimony and praise to the Lord this morning. As you look at these five different benefits and blessings of the Lord, will there be somebody this morning that would just want to, just real briefly, a minute or two, just say, hey, this is what the Lord has done in my life, and I want to give him praise this morning. Anybody? All right, Brother Jim. Amen. 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 Brother Dan. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So good. So good. Somebody else. Yes.
I will. I was 19 when I came to the Lord. I was coming with my family. And from that, my mom and my sister and my brother were spouses. So it was like a trickle down. I was very comfortable living the Christian life. I taught Sunday school. I remember being in my 20s when I talked to a member of my church and they were saying,
Amen. Amen. God's God's grace, it's a pardoning, you know, it's a forgiveness, but it's also, it's even richer than that, because it's empowering too, to help you forget and to realize that God has accepted you and he empowers you to walk in the newness of life that he offers. His grace is good. Brother Dan in the back. Amen. Amen. Miss Amy. Amen. So tell us what you're doing. Very neat. Amen. Amen. I know many of us have been praying for you on that journey as well. Jamo? Amen. 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 I appreciate your heart. One of the characteristics that you've experienced the goodness and grace of God is that the blessed, they bless. You know, God's grace, it turns into generosity to others. And we appreciate your heart. And I know probably many others will be wanting to talk more with you. Maybe we can plug in and be an encouragement and support as well. So let us know. Brother Bob? Okay. Amen. Let's do a couple more. Brother Carroll? Amen. 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 We could be here all day. We could be all day. I'm gonna transition a little bit. I appreciate so many sharing and loving to give testimony to the Lord. I want to encourage you to do that. Do that when we move down to our fellowship hall to share with each other. Don't let it just sit here, okay? Do that around the table with your family, especially this week as you have time and opportunity to do that. Verse 6 talks about the Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He reveals himself throughout the history to saints and has recorded that faithfully in the scriptures. We have that. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't deal with us in anger according to our sins, that he gives us grace. And as far as the east is from the west, he removes our sin from us. East and west. As long as you're going east, never go west. As long as you're going west, you'll never go east. And that's how far God removes our sin away from us. He's a father who shows compassion to his children. He shows compassion to those who fear him. So this is the Lord. This is what he has done for us. This is the gospel of grace and forgiveness of sin. I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward now as we're going to celebrate the richness of this grace through what God has commanded us to do, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord's Supper. Deacons, if you'll come forward, Pastor Zach as well, and we'll share this together today. Lord Jesus Christ, he was with his disciples, and the Bible says that he gave thanks. And that's what we've done this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we do give thanks for your grace. God, that you sacrificed your body. You entered into this world for that very purpose. And so, God, we give thanks for your love, your grace, for the forgiveness of sins, and even, God, for the power of eternal life, the power, Lord, that you, God, raised yourself from the dead with, God, is available to us. We give thanks for the Christian message, for the gospel that is ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat. On that same night, he also distributed a cup.
That in that same night Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you and just thank you, God, in this season, in this time where we thank you for so much, but we especially want to thank you for your sacrifice, God. Amen. For the blood that you shed for us, God. And it says in your word that there cannot be forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, and you gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so we thank you, and we praise you, and we honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Lord's grace is evident, and David realizes that. And the flow of this psalm is such that David has blessed the Lord, and he's realized how much God has blessed him with. But as David looks around all of creation, he looks at man in verse 15, as for man, we're just fragile. We're like grass. We flourish like the flowers of the field, but the wind passes over it and it's gone. Man's life is but a breath, you know. But he says, God is constant. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And he talks about, in verse 19, he says, as he continues to look around, he looks at creation and looks at the Lord, and he says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. And then he says, gives these commands again, rapid fire. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obey in the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. So in other words, everything that exists, everything that has breath, give praise to the Lord. This last truth, there's a truth that there's a Lord to bless. There's a truth that there's a Lord who has blessed us. He is overwhelmingly benevolent towards his people. And the last truth is this, is that there is a Lord to bless with abundant expansion. With abundant expansion. In other words, that it never will get old to give praise to the Lord. We will never have enough days to give thanks and to give testimony. When we've been there, how many years? 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, right? There's more and more and more opportunity and days to give praise to the Lord for his grace. And that's what this psalmist is saying, that all of creation, that he is ruler over all, and that we should bless him with abundant expansion. So Vernon Park Baptist Church, we have abundant expansion before us. We have opportunities moving towards the Christmas season to continue to invest into relationships of friends and co-workers and family members, to invite them to know and recognize what Christmas is all about. You have opportunity to invite them to our Christmas services in December. You have opportunity to invite them to a Christmas Eve service that we have every year. Folks and people are open to the invite. And so the question is will you take advantage of this abundant expansion, these opportunities to testify and to invest into people and invite them to know about the gospel and of God's grace. Church, we have had opportunity the past month to collect shoeboxes, and oh, that we would continue that. Oh, that we would have more Jamos who have a heart for nations like Liberia to give and to bless others. Oh, that we would have heart of the hands and feet of the people of Samaritan's Purse, and to go into places of the world that nobody has even gone before, to enter into places that after the tornadoes hit or typhoons hit, like the Philippines and as Samaritan's Purse has and many other missions agencies have, that we would continue to have this abundant expansion, this heart for the glory of God over all the earth, for every nation, for every people, every tongue, every tribe. And that's what God is calling us for. That we would have, as a church family, that we'd have a vision and a heart, a desire to multiply and reproduce everything that we do. Multiply Bible groups. Did you know that this past year we've multiplied a preschool Bible group this past year? And what a wonderful testimony that is to the Lord, that God has saw fit to grace our church with the noise of children and their smiles and their laughter and their eagerness to learn and to grow and to listen to Bible stories. And so we've multiplied in our preschool program. Did you know that this year we started a college group? It's slow going, but we're trying to continue to fan the flame for that. Did you know that this year we have plans, if not December, definitely by January, to multiply one of our adult Bible groups this year? We're very excited about planning that and moving forward with that. We want to continue to reach more people. We want to continue to realize that there is abundant expansion for the glory of God. The way that we phrase it around here at Severna Park Baptist Church is that our mission, our vision, is to grow godly generations. And that means that we want to have impact and influence way beyond ourselves. There are people to reach, and that's what the psalmist sees. He's received the goodness, the grace of God. He's been blessed, and he wants to bless others. And he says, bless you, his angels, his host, all his ministers, all his works. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May that be true of us. Worship team, would you come? We'll have a closing song this morning. I want to invite you to take advantage and just give praise to the Lord. Let this song be a celebration, a blessing to the Lord from your heart to his heart. Maybe it's also a time of response for you. Maybe you have heard some things about God and his grace and didn't quite realize that that could be personal for you. That grace is not just something abstract. You've heard testimony from men and women who are older and who are younger, who have experienced God's healing, his presence in their life, and you said, hey, I'm interested. I want that too for my life. I would be glad to talk with you, encourage you, pray with you, counsel you according to God's word, and let you know how to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You could respond in faith and come, and I'll be glad to share with you more. Let's pray. Father God, may you continue to increase our appetite for the abundant expansion of your glory, of your grace throughout this world. Start it in our lives this morning. Let it flow out into the body of this church here in Severna Park. And God, use us for your global glory throughout the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.